Xin chào.
안녕하세요.
สวัสดีค่ะ.
สบายดี. 你好.
Who's today?
민가라와.
Como está acá?
Welcome to Dragon Radio. This is Dragon Radio 30. I'm Tony Reno, your host. Enjoying some popcorn and settling in for a different Dragon Radio. Recently, I was visited, not in the spiritual sense, but literally visited by Eric Tsu, who is Johnny Hi-Fi. Now, if you remember, we've played Johnny Hi-Fi here before on Dragon Radio, long, long ago. I think it might have been in the 20s, Dragon Radio 20-something. Anyway, Eric was on his way to Taiwan, his original home, and he stopped by Hong Kong for about a 6 or 8 hour layover. And he was kind enough to come into the city and meet me, and we sat down at a cafe here in Central in Hong Kong, and we talked about music. So I'm going to play the interview for you. It's about 20-some-odd minutes, and then we're going to end the show with a song of Eric's. Stay tuned to Dragon Radio. Very quickly, we'll have a regular show. Please enjoy Dragon Radio, dragonradio.hk.
Well, hello, Tony.
Hello, Eric. I'm here with Eric Tsu from Johnny Hi-Fi. He is actually Johnny Hi-Fi, him and the other three members of the band, visiting in Hong Kong, just in off the plane.
Yep.
And
just stopping here for 6 hours.
6 hours, yep. And then off again. Hopefully we'll get this podcast up in the next 6 hours so you can listen to it once you get to Taiwan and make sure I edited it properly. What I wanted to ask you about is, first of all, your heritage. How long have you been in America? Where are you from originally? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Taiwan, and moved to the States when I was 14 years old, and been there ever since.
And how did you get into music? What made you pick up a guitar?
I was always, the only one in the family who's always singing, who's always listening to the radio, listening to the pop songs, watching the MTV. I was just so drawn to music ever since I was very young. And of course, my brother was the one who beat me to fame and fortune.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he actually was a huge pop star in Taiwan in 96, 97.
Is he still in Taiwan now?
No, he now lives in Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Now he has a family, he has two beautiful daughters.
And, okay.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sing anymore. He hung up the microphone.
He did. He absolutely did. Yep.
Wow, that's pretty pretty admirable of him actually to give up the fame and fortune to start a family.
Yeah, some people just don't have. I guess it just wasn't in him.
Wasn't his aspiration to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. But it's always been part of me. I pick up my first guitar when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Taught myself how to play. I wrote my very first song at the age of 17,
mm-hmm.
and since then I've written hundreds of songs.
That first song, is it on one of your CDs? Or has not been released yet?
It's not been released, no.
Will it see the light of day or no?
I'm not sure, maybe.
Okay. Now I know on your first CD you have two songs in Mandarin.
Right.
And your second CD you have just one song.
Just one.
In Mandarin. We've played that song, the title being?
Being Your Wings.
Your Wings, Your Wings. We're going to play a little bit later, Changes.
It's called Changed.
Yeah. Changed.
Yeah, the Mandarin. Right, the Mandarin title is called 变得是我.
变得是我. And that's from the CD entitled 30. That's your first CD.
Correct.
Where did you get the funding for the first CD?
Everything is just self-funded.
Okay.
From the recordings, from making the videos, even most of the touring, it's all self-funded.
Okay. What are you trying to get out of the American market, or are you exploring? Granted, your first CD had two Mandarin songs, and this CD only has one Mandarin song. Are you moving away from the Mandarin content, or are you still keeping an eye on the Chinese market and the Mandarin listening audience? What's your focus right now?
I think the reason why we throw in one or two Mandarin songs on every CD, and which we will, you know, for the next, you know, who knows how many years, it's because I think it works in two ways. One is that it gives the American listeners something different to listen to, like, mm-hmm. wow, somebody can actually rock out in Mandarin.
A different language.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And at the same time, it also, you know, it shows the Asian listeners that, you know, we can do it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also trying to lead the whole industry, you mm-hmm. know, in especially the Taiwanese industry, into
okay.
Something that is more Brit pop oriented, you know, a lot of Brit rock, American rock. You know, because I've been trying to keep up with the Asian music scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the last several years, and I think, you know, the Taiwanese, as far as rock music goes, you know, they're trying to do a lot of stuff that Americans are doing,
mm-hmm.
which is very hard rock.
Mm-hmm.
The rap rock.
Okay, like Limp Bizkit kind of stuff,
right,
like
exactly.
that. Yeah.
And it also, you know, are very much into, like, you know, J-pop, K-pop, and,
yeah.
you know, and your R&B stuff.
Yeah.
So when we did our Taiwanese tour in October, you know, everyone was very surprised, and it's a fresh new sound. You know, they've never heard anything like it before.
Cool.
And, you know, especially when we're able to perform it in both English and Mandarin, they were blown away.
Did you play just in Taipei City, or were you all
yes,
over
we
Taiwan?
We did two shows in Taipei City.
Which club?
One of them was The Wall.
Okay.
And the other one at the Sidewalk Cafe.
Sidewalk Cafe and The
right.
Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good venues?
Great venues.
Happy
great
with
people.
The staff and the way you were treated?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to promote them if you weren't happy with them. Did they pay you?
They did. They
okay,
did.
Good,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, you know, but we weren't really in it for the money. You know?
Sure.
I sold a song to Richie Zhen
okay.
Back in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my first exposure back in my home country.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, I've been going back regularly to meet with radio stations, to meet with record label execs,
mm-hmm.
Just to try to get the music out there, and you know, and just through the website too. You know, we've reached out to a lot of new fans in Taiwan, especially. So for us to actually go back and actually, you know, meet them in person, and for them to actually see us in person too, you know, it's
what is your website, by the way?
It's johnnyhifi.com.
One word, Johnny Hi-Fi, no hyphen or anything like that.
Hyphen or no hyphen.
Oh, really? It works yeah. both ways. Oh, you're a smart man. Not many people are that smart.
I know why I got into the internet industry in 92, before
oh, okay.
the internet was internet, so yeah.
So being in Johnny Hi-Fi, is your full-time job now, or is this just still like not paying half the rent or
it
whatever?
It is a full-time job,
okay.
But I also have another full-time job that actually pays.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know a lot of artists, they either start in America or they start in Asia and they try to break into the other markets. I would consider you an American artist who is breaking
right.
into Asia. What are the challenges in breaking into the Asian market, other than the language barrier, which I think less and less is, more and more it's less important, the whole language thing. At least that's my feeling behind Dragon Radio and why I do Dragon Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, what is the major challenge in getting in these, let's say the Taiwanese market, for example?
Regardless, you know, whether it's the Asian industry or the American industry, the circle is very small.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to get somewhere, either you do it grassroots,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you have to know somebody who knows somebody.
Okay.
And, you know, so I think that's probably the biggest challenge. It's for, you know, an unsigned band to try to break into, you know, the Asian market,
mm-hmm.
Because if they have to, you know, if they don't know anyone who can just dump a whole lot of money in promotion, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'll have to be there for 6 months at a time and just do it grassroots, play at every club and try to, you know, earn their fans one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the toughest challenge.
So I guess you're going to have to be traveling out here more and more and playing more and more
exactly,
shows.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will we see you in Hong Kong someday? Doing
oh, absolutely,
a show? Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometime in 2006.
Okay, great. So you're
yeah.
going to do another Asian tour, Taiwan.
Absolutely. Try to go to Singapore.
Oh, great.
Maybe stop by China as well.
Okay, good. Well, everybody will be looking for you, that's for sure.
Great.
Speaking of exposure, we had talked earlier about MTV starting a new channel. Can you tell us a little bit about that, your involvement in that, and your status in the... I know you're in the top 10 now, so what's going on in America?
In America, everyone is, you know, looking to see faces that resemble their own.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 months ago, MTV launched a channel called MTV Desi for
mm-hmm.
All the Middle Eastern mm-hmm. Americans, you know, the Indian Americans, the, mm-hmm. you know, the Pakistani Americans, mm-hmm. And now on December 6th, just last week, they launched a channel just for Chinese Americans called MTV Chi, mm-hmm. CHI, mm-hmm. and you know, their goal is to reflect what young people here in Asia are watching. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll see our video, you'll mm-hmm. see Green Day, you'll mm-hmm. see Usher, mm-hmm. At the same time you'll see Jay Chou, you'll see mm-hmm. Coco Lee, you know, mm-hmm. you'll see Andy Lau. So
they're putting English content with the Mandarin content
exactly.
and the Japanese content.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Everything that people here are listening to, mm-hmm. they wanted to show the American listeners and also the Chinese Americans there too, who have no idea what's going on in Asia, mm-hmm. show them what people here are like. I guess, you know, show them how hip Asia really is.
Yeah.
And how diverse it is.
I haven't watched this channel. Do they have Asian culture shows that they have, the TV
right,
show
right,
Jackass?
Right. They
have a Chinese version called, it was called Qi Xin. Now it's called, Do Nothing or something like that, like Moye Joe, like nothing to do.
Awesome.
They have it here, but I don't know if they have it there. Do they have, what kind of, or is it just music? Is MTV Chi just
right
music?
Right now it's most, MTV Chi right now is mostly music.
Okay.
They're trying to syndicate shows from
okay.
Asia, and at the same time they're also trying to do their own original programming as well, but, you know, it's a brand new channel, it's still growing, mm-hmm. so it'll evolve. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think Dragon Radio on MTV Chi would be a great thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't have, I have what we call a face for radio, which
nice.
Is a nice.
Nice
thing to have, but what I'm hoping is I can find a nice, good-looking host to host the show while I produce it. We'll see
yeah,
what happens.
Fantastic.
But Johnny Hi-Fi is in the top 10.
Yeah. Speaking of hosting shows, Johnny Hi-Fi hosted two shows for MTV Chi. Mm-hmm. One is called Live From.
Uh-huh. And what's that about the show?
It's pretty much, you know, another music video segment.
Okay.
But at the same time, you mix in a little bit of like a neighborhood mm-hmm. kind of thing. So we host Live From Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Where our rehearsal studio is.
Oh,
and so,
nice area.
Yeah, and so, you know, between music videos, we'll try to introduce, you know, to people in general, what you know, different cities.
And they played your songs, your English songs.
Right, they played our English songs. And so the other program that we host is the Top 10 Cheat Countdown.
Okay.
You know, where we just introduce the Top 10 videos. So the episode that we hosted were number 10. So
number 10. And that was a couple weeks ago?
We hosted the show just last month.
And who else was in the top 10, like some other artist names?
Yeah,
like?
Andy Lau was in the top 10. Jay Chou was in the top 10.
Who was number one? Do you remember?
Number one, you know, I don't.
Was it an Asian
think,
artist,
you know,
or was it like Christina Aguilera?
I think it was like Wilbur Pan or something. Wilbur Pan. Yeah.
And that whole, I know for a while here it was popular. What's that guy's name? The guy who couldn't sing, he was on American Idol.
Right.
William
Hung. William
Hung.
Yeah.
That thing has died, hopefully, right?
You know, I don't know. I hope so.
He actually did a movie out here.
I remember his second album came out just a few months ago, and I was...
The fact that a guy like that gets a record contract really irritates me, because I've met talented musicians out here in Asia,
yeah.
and for him to get it on
yeah.
some smooth.
And, you know, and also for him to actually, you know, be the face of Chinese Americans,
That must upset you a little bit, or
absolutely.
Disturb you. But speaking about promoting Asian music, I know you've organized a festival in
That's
New York.
Right.
Can you tell us about that?
That's right. It is called the Asian Rock Fest.
Okay.
We have a website, asianrockfest.com.
Okay.
Started out in 2004
mm-hmm.
When I realized that there's a huge underground movement with Asian musicians, and you know, everyone's trying to break into the mainstream. So I started a festival in 2004 trying to just push these Asian American
mm-hmm.
artists and these Asian American fronted bands into the
mm-hmm.
mainstream.
Okay.
And so, you know, we held the event at Pianos
mm-hmm.
in Lower East Side, New York,
mm-hmm.
and it was a great success. More than 28 different publications covered it, including the New York Times and Time on New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we repeated
mm-hmm.
the success. We
mm-hmm.
held it at the Mercury Lounge
cool
in
place.
Lower East Side. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a great venue, and it was also a huge success.
So where do you find these bands? Are you just like friends of friends of bands, or you actually?
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I go out and listen to bands all the time. You
mm-hmm.
know, and then once in a while I'll see, you know, an Asian fronted band, and I'm
mm-hmm.
just completely blown away, you know, by how good they really are.
So the prerequisite for joining this band is you have to be Asian, you have to front the band, correct?
Right, to be
to play in the festival.
Right, right, to play in the festival, yeah. And also, Asian Rock Fest is, we're trying to position ourselves to become the largest Asian American musician listing on the on the internet too. And you know,
so you also have to be Asian American. You can't just be Asian. You can't come over from Taiwan for a
day.
That's right.
That's right. Because the purpose is to push Asian American musicians into the mainstream in America.
Of all the bands you've played, are any completely Asian American? Like, is there a, like full on Asian American?
Oh, absolutely, band? Absolutely. Okay. You know, and there's this great band, Kite Operations.
Kite Operations.
Right. You know, I think it's all Korean guys.
Oh, cool.
They're great.
Yeah. Rock band.
Rock band.
These bands are like. Were they all rock bands, or was it rock, hip-hop?
When we first started out, it was all rock bands. You know,
okay.
You know, it's called the Asian Rock Fest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after a little while and after, you know, doing a little bit more research, then you start finding out that they're phenomenal Asian R&B singers, mm-hmm. Asian, you know, MCs, MC Jin. Mm-hmm. You know, he was huge. You know, signed.
Name rings a bell.
Yeah, he was signed to Rough Riders album.
That's right. He was. Yeah, I remember it. He came about a year ago, maybe.
Not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so you know, so instead of you know just trying to push you know Asian American rock musicians, you know we're just now pushing Asian musicians.
Now, as you and I probably feel, New York is the center of the universe, but for other listeners inside the United States, let's say the West Coast. Will they ever be able to see these bands or your festival?
They absolutely will. Originally, we were going to have it in multiple cities this year, but I was, you know, I was caught up in doing a lot of stuff with Johnny Hi-Fi, really concentrating on pushing it to the next level. But next year, you can guarantee that you'll at least see Asian Rock Fest in New York City and Los Angeles.
Los Angeles,
if not more cities. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you might want to stop in D.C. There's a large Korean population there, a large Vietnamese population there as well. The makeup of the bands in the festival, are they mostly Chinese, mostly Korean, mostly Vietnamese? I mean,
actually,
just
everything.
A mix.
That's good. Yeah, there's a there's Korean, Filipinos.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Chinese definitely.
Okay.
Some Japanese people as well.
Okay. And have you explored any of the Asian rock festivals out here? We have the Mount Fuji Rock Festival in Japan. In Taiwan, there's actually two independent rock festivals.
Right, there's the Spring Screen.
And there's one here in Hong Kong. Yeah, Spring Screen.
Right, yeah,
Hong Kong has a rocket festival.
Yeah, we actually, we contacted a couple of the festivals in Taiwan last year. Unfortunately, you know, there was a scheduling problem, so we couldn't make it. But next year, you can count on Johnny Hi-Fi being in those festivals.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, when you're writing songs, obviously you're writing mostly in English. What makes you decide to write a lyric in English as opposed to Mandarin? Like when you're writing a song.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I don't think I decided beforehand.
What comes first, the melody or the lyrics?
Usually the melody comes first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, the vocal melody, you know, is what makes a song. Because, you know, when people just walk down the street and start humming a song, you know, they don't hum the piano parts or maybe they'll hum like the guitar solos or something, but you know, I think it's the core of a song is still in vocal melody, and that's what usually comes first to me.
And do you feel you can express yourself better in English or Mandarin, or does it depend on the subject matter?
It really depends on the subject matter, and it all depends on what mood I was in, what language I was thinking in at the time.
And when did you were learning English in Taiwan?
No, I actually started learning English when I was in the States when I was 14 years old.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. So I would guess then that the songs you write about your youth, you would sing them in Mandarin or maybe feel more comfortable singing in Mandarin?
No, it really just depends on, you know, the moment.
And does it confuse the band? I know a lot of times, does anybody else in your band speak Mandarin? Or do they
understand? No, but they're all trying to learn and so they can sing back a vocal with them.
Oh, really? Cool.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, I would guess that might be a little bit difficult if they couldn't follow along. And
our fans, too. Our fans in the States, you know, they will always ask us to actually spell it out for them so they can sing along at the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
See, I think that's incredible because one of the reasons I started Dragon Radio is because I know a lot of Asian friends here learn their English through pop music.
Yeah.
And so I figured hopefully somebody is listening who's actually trying to learn one of the languages I play, whatever Asian language it is, and they can follow along. And I think your lyrics are clear enough that I could at least follow along and get the gist. I don't speak Mandarin, I speak Cantonese, but just trying to follow along and learn from example, I think that's a great thing. And actually, I think there's some kind of methodology about if you have the tune in your head, you remember the lyrics more. At least that's how it is in English.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I can repeat song lyrics because I've heard it so many times, and you know, you hear the tone at the same time. What kind of internet exposure are you getting? I mean, are you putting MP3s on the internet, and how do you feel about the whole MP3 thing? What I'm doing, not just me, but how willing are you to give away an MP3 to the world? In the hope that someday somebody will buy your whole CD. I know some artists don't want to give anything away.
Right. You know, we're very willing to give away everything for free. In fact, we have been doing it for
the whole CD.
Yeah, every single song. We have just now switched to streaming.
Okay.
The audios.
Okay.
I think it's easier to use actually.
Uh-huh.
Because you can just skip from song to song. You don't have to download the whole song to actually listen to it. But you know, if friends request it, we still give them to them for free, or they can just buy it from iTunes for 99 cents.
Oh, you are on iTunes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The purpose of us playing music, writing songs, is to reach out to others, to affect people in a certain way. If there is something in the middle that's blocking it, if we can't get to the audience directly, then it sort of defeats the purpose, of us writing songs in the first place. We're not in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
The money would be good, because we can, if we have the money, then we don't have to worry about, other stuff taking up our time, like a 9-to-5 job or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just give us more time to write music, to get better at playing our instruments. It definitely is not the main driving force for us as songwriters.
Well, the whole expense, that's got to be a huge issue for you. I mean, if you're trying to break into these Asian markets, like you said, you got to go out and play.
Yeah.
Getting out here is not cheap. It's not like driving to Pennsylvania and playing some pub there. You have to get on a plane and come out here.
Yeah.
Have you talked to anybody about sponsorship or?
We're definitely moving into that stage. We're moving into the next phase of the band. We're looking for a manager to actually take it. Us a little further. Somebody who can actually concentrate on these efforts 8 hours a day.
I know a girl in Houston. You know her too.
I do.
I don't know.
HKVP Radio.
Yeah, HKVP Radio. Our good friend Annie. That's actually how Eric and I met. I know Annie through the internet and my Dragon Radio and her radio station. That's how I was introduced to Eric and Johnny Hi-Fi. Would you in the future consider working with other Asian artists to try to bring them into the U.S. market? Let's say you go play Taiwan and you meet a band. Do you see any benefit to bringing their music back to the States and the whole sharing thing?
In fact, there was this huge band from Taiwan called Ayue and Three Nights.
Ayue.
Yeah. It's Mandarin. It's Chinese, and his full name is Zhang Zhongyue.
Okay.
And Three Nights. He actually did the very first rock band tour in the States in 2004. And Johnny Hi-Fi was their opener. I think the only band, it depends on what stage the band in Taiwan are in. If they actually have some sort of international appeal, because it's going to be hard. The bottom line, it's going to be very hard if they only sing in Chinese or in Mandarin to break into the American market. Even the Latin American songs, they don't necessarily get that far on American radio.
How do you feel about mixing in traditional Asian instruments to your rock sound? There are a few bands out there who do it already.
Right.
There's a band called Japan Cakes, another band called Matcha, where they blend in traditional matcha. In their case, they actually use the gamelan drum and some other stringed instruments.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider doing that, or do you think that's just a cheap way, like a gimmick kind of thing?
Absolutely. If you do it tastefully, and if you do it, don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, MC Jin, when his first video, Learn Chinese, came out,
ye
there was some very stereotypical Asian melodies in there, you know, and you know, some people might take it in the wrong way, you know, I mean, some people might think that it's a clever way to work it into it, you know, so it all depends on how tasteful it is, and you know, if it actually blends in and serves a purpose in your music.
Do you write your music on piano or guitar, or what's your instrument?
On guitar.
On guitar,
yeah.
Okay.
Mainly on guitar.
And you don't know, have you ever studied any other Asian instrument, like the erhu or
No,
nothing like that.
I've seen them. I've kind of play with them a little bit.
It's only two strings. You should be able to pick it up. You're playing six now. What's wrong with you?
I know. But there are no frets.
Yeah, that's true. There are no frets.
You can't cheat. It's like violin.
Yeah, that's true. You totally got to use your... Do you have perfect pitch?
No, I don't.
No?
I don't.
But you know how to tune your own guitar, right?
Yeah.
I used to work in a recording studio. It was the funniest thing. Guitar players coming in, they're like, I don't know how to tune this thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? But anyway. Well, let's get to the music. Thank you very much for taking the time out.
No, thank you so much,
to do the interview. I hope you come back to Hong Kong.
Absolutely.
Have fun on your travels throughout Asia, and promote your CD when you can. I hope your bag is, like, full of CDs, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, actually,
good. So we're going to listen to Changed, from the first CD, full-length CD, from Johnny Hi-Fi. What is the song about? Since it's in Mandarin, can you give us a brief synopsis in English what it's about?
It's just about lost love.
Lost love.
Yeah.
A very common theme these days.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for taking time out to interview us at Dragon Radio. And we look forward to your next record. You told me you got an EP coming out soon. But the next time you have some Mandarin material, please send it to me. I'd love to be the first one on the earth to play it. That would be great.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.